In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I was your elementary school teacher, and you were grade school kids, then today I would wheel out that cart with the TV on it and play a video. In other words, I'm very tired today. But since you're not grade school kids, we're still having regularly scheduled class. And speaking of kids, I'm sure it's pretty obvious, based on how I act, but if you didn't know this about me, I'm actually the youngest kid of four siblings with a significant age gap between myself and the others. And as the youngest child, I've spent a lot of time listening to my siblings complain about my unearned praise and being mom and dad's favorite. And of course, my siblings felt it was unfair that many of the rules they had to follow did not apply to me. Now, this issue of sibling fairness, it's more than just jealousy. While some of it could be jealousy, the problem older siblings have with the younger kids getting away with more is that it creates an identity issue among the other kids. Let me explain. Take, for instance, the oldest child. If you're the oldest kid in your family, a lot falls on you. You are expected to learn the family customs, rules, and beliefs. As the first kid to do everything, you represent the family the most often and set an example to the other kids. And you're also given the privileges and responsibilities that the other children don't have yet. You might even be learning the family trade to take over your parents' business, or you're being taught a skill that's passed down. In some ways, an oldest sibling's role in the family will kind of predict the trajectory of the rest of their life. This sounds like a weighty life with too much responsibility, but in many family systems, there is a payoff. While this doesn't happen as much in our culture today, in the ancient customs of Israel, the eldest child, or rather the eldest son, was entitled to most of his father's possessions when he died. If the inheritance was supposed to be divided among multiple children, the eldest son would get the biggest portion, and he would be the new head of the family and the new head of the household. So in ancient Jewish culture, if you were an oldest son and you found that your family rules and norms were very difficult, you could always look forward to eventually getting to call the shots. You put in the work and you get the same glory and respect that your father got. Now, the reason I wanted to paint this picture is because of today's reading from Genesis. We are all familiar with the story of Joseph and his brothers who plot against him out of jealousy and favoritism. But I cannot think of a time in my life where I didn't wonder, how could Joseph's siblings possibly think it was a good idea to sell him into slavery? Not just that, but the older siblings first debate amongst each other about whether or not they should murder their little brother. Surely, whatever privileges he was getting as his dad's favorite were not so extreme that his brothers would want to get rid of him. But for them, the privileges he was receiving were extreme. This doesn't justify their actions, but it does explain the choices that they made. Because their cultural expectations taught them one thing, but life wasn't lining up with what they were taught. And that's because God was teaching them something different. God was revealing that human culture, expectations, and laws are not always correct. Humans and their constructs about what is right and just do not line up with what is right and just in the eyes of God. For those of you who are eldest siblings out there, this story probably seems kind of unfair. But time and time again, God shows us that the social order we have created is insufficient. Our rules and guidelines for how to live are always subject to change over time. But God's justice remains. And God's justice does not always look like fairness according to the rules we know. Sometimes it looks like overturning those rules entirely. And Joseph's brothers, they had every reason to believe that they understood how their family was supposed to work. The oldest sons had status, they had responsibility, they had expectations about what they were meant to do and what they would eventually receive because of those met expectations. And then along comes Joseph, the little brother, the favorite, the kid who seems to get away with everything. And suddenly, none of those expectations can tell his brothers what God is doing. That's the danger of confusing the way things have always been and have been always done with the way that God intends things to be. Because God is remarkably unconcerned with preserving our hierarchies. Throughout Scripture, God chooses younger sons, sex workers, single mothers, poor and sick people, shepherds, fishermen, you name it, all kinds of people who were not supposed to be the ones in charge. Again and again, God works through the person human beings wouldn't have chosen. And that can feel unfair when the system has been working for us. That can feel even more unfair when we have been working for the system. But the good news is that God is not bound by the roles we assign to one another. God's loving imagination is bigger than our systems of inheritance, bigger than our status, bigger than our ideas of power. So stories like the one of Joseph and his brothers might annoy us, but they are meant to annoy us. We are meant to read a story like Joseph's and think, wait, are we wrong about this? Are we misunderstanding how things work? Yes. Yes, we are. Because God's grace cuts through all of that. We aren't being punished when the social script changes. God's grace is actually liberating us from it. And sometimes grace looks like God wheeling a television cart right through the social order that we thought was permanent. And God says, today, we're learning something different. And thanks be to God, there is always something to learn. Amen.